Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from a new studio today.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Caleb in the house. Matthew is not.
Yeah, Matt. Come on now. Can't be missing days. Gonna have to find Matt. We're in tournament day Caleb today, as I like to call it, since Matt's out with the injury.
So, I think it's an illness, not an injury. But what fine? How much should we fine him? How are we gonna fine him? I don't want to find him with a pizza. That's too easy.
You said that was going to be my first thing, yeah. But we'll think of something. Maybe $100 or something like that.
All right, we'll come up with something. Real quick, let's run down the schedule coming up momentarily. Returning back to the program, Flash Gordon. Jared Gordon gets back in the octagon this Saturday. Jared will be on. Thiago Silva will be on as he's taking on Hector Lombard in a couple weeks. Also, your bantamweight champion, Juliana Pena, as Tough kicks off next Tuesday, and so she'll be on to talk about that, as well as Ben Rothwell will be on, and Gabe Green. So an action-packed, a lot of things you and I need to talk about, the NFL draft we need to talk about. But first, let's jump back to Las Vegas. I was just there. I can't wait to get back as we get prepared for this weekend's UFC. On the phone with us, like I said, returning, Jared Gordon. Jared, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Welcome back. Everything going strong as fight week just starts to kick off?
Yeah, everything's smooth, and it's another fight week, but I feel good, and everything's well right now.
I know it's just the start, and I always tend to ask you guys this. Is every fight week the same, or do you try to mix it up a little just to kind of keep it fresh, or do you want it all the same?
I mean, they're definitely never the same. It's always a little different. Sometimes I'm more nervous, sometimes I'm less nervous. But I like to try to, during the day at least, try to stay busy and not just sit down and think about the fight all day long, Try to get outside my head. Maybe have a little fun or something.
What determines, whether, you're nervous? Is it the portion of the week? Is it at the opponent? Is it where you're on the card? Or is it just sometimes you do and sometimes you don't?
Yeah, I think it's just sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I also think, just for the week leading up to the fight, how, camp went and how I was, spiritually, and mentally leading up to the fight definitely, makes a big difference on how I feel fight week.
So I'm always really intrigued about you guys with the weight cuts and stuff like that. So after you weigh in the day before the fight, if I'm not mistaken, what is your go-to kind of refuel meal? Is there something you like specifically? Do you still kind of stay on the healthier side, or do you just go eat a big bowl of pasta and, drink some Gatorade and just kind of take a deep breath?
No, I have a nutritionist, and so we have a protocol for rehydration, has a certain amount of sodium and a certain amount of this and that in the drinks, and you have to time them. You don't want to drink them too fast because then you feel like crap. So it's all to my body weight and how much weight I've lost, how much water I sucked out. And then, we eat bland food, potatoes and eggs, or, you start small though with crackers and even baby food, the puffs that baby eat, cause so they digest easily. And, you know, and then you start having bigger meals as the day goes on.
Okay.
I remember back in the day, many, many years ago, I was hanging out with Sam Hoger, and after his weight cut, he went out to an all-you-could-eat sushi buffet, and the next day he was just, he felt like crap, he fought like crap, and yeah. I'm like, yeah, you just ate 400 plates of sushi.
I asked because I saw a video of Volkanovski eating some rock pancakes with like some syrup and all that the day before he fought Zombie after he weighed in, so I was curious to see, you know, like kind of what your process was.
Jared, let me ask you this.
Go for it.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, he probably ate some bland food first, and then he probably had those pancakes after. You know, you're not just going to stick pancakes right in your stomach.
When do you and how do you prepare for the time of the fight? You know, it's our every day, you know, typically, you know, you go to bed at 9, 10, whatever it is. But, you know, on a fight night, you know, you want to be more awake, obviously, than any other time. So do you change your sleep pattern, whether it's 2 weeks out, a week out, or 3 days before or something like that?
No, actually, I don't do any of that. I feel like, for me, you know, when it's fight time, it's fight time. It doesn't matter. You know, I fought in Abu Dhabi on Flat Island, and we fought at 1:30 in the morning. So, you know, it was quite different than being here and fighting, you know, 7, 8, or 9 o'clock at night, or in Vegas, 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night in the evening. Sure. But no, like once it's fight day and the nerves are going, I don't really have an issue being awake, you know.
Keeps you up. I got you. Thoughts on a change of opponent, and you know, does that kind of like rejuvenate as you get closer? That now you can concentrate on something else.
You said change of opponent.
Yeah. Is a change of opponent?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we changed opponents like 5-6 weeks ago, so it wasn't really that short notice. I think my new opponent definitely holds more value with a win over him. But yeah, so I was definitely happy. I was actually happier when I got the new opponent because the first guy only had 2 UFC fights and he was tough. Where, you know, my new opponent, he's 5-0-1 and you know, the name just holds a lot more value once I get the win over him.
What things did you, at least what you can tell us, did you focus on during this camp and, you know, kind of watching your opponent, you know, things that you felt that people have had success with against him? You said he's 5-0-1, so there's not been a lot of people had a lot of success against him. But what areas do you see can you attack to, you know, help you get a victory?
I think my style plays, like, perfectly into his style. I believe I'm the better striker. And I think he's going to have a heart, you know, because he wants to take people down and beat him up on the floor. And I think, you know, that's my style too. And if you're really good at holding people down, then you know how to get up. So I saw, you know, in his last fight, it looked like maybe he got a little tired in that last round. And it ended up being a 10-A round, and they called it a draw. So I think I could exploit, you know, his cardio and you know push the pace, get in his face and you know make the fight really dirty and just you know do what I do best.
You touched on cardio because you know it's a big deal in your sport, a fighting sport, because you know you get tired, that's when you start getting knocked out and stuff like that. And I don't think a lot of people understand really how hard it is to hold your hands up for 5-minute rounds, 3-minute rounds when you're in there sparring and stuff like that. What do you do for cardio that you feel makes yours top-notch and makes yours elite, that you can, you know, go through the fights with no issues?
Well, I mean, you know, we obviously do strength and conditioning, but every session we do is a hard endurance cardio session, yeah. Skill-wise, when you're sparring or grappling or doing jiu-jitsu or whatever it is, kickboxing. I swim a lot, too.
Okay.
I've been swimming for like the last a little over a year now, really consistently with a coach, and I haven't felt better.
I'm almost scared to throw this out, and this is towards Caleb, obviously, and not you, Jared. Caleb is an offensive lineman, so I'm sure they don't do a whole lot of cardio to get ready for games.
You know, like our cardio is a little different. You know, because like our we go in short spurts, you know, outbursts. So my cardio is pushing sleds, and I picked up bike riding this off season. That's been a lot of fun. So especially as I get older, like he said, he swims. I try to do stuff that take off of me just doing sprints on my 300-pound body. So, you know, it's always interesting to see what people are doing. So, yeah, the swimming one's dope. I'm going to add that in as well.
Jared, are you a fan of other sports, you know, whether watching or participating?
I used to be, but I don't really watch sports anymore. I mean, I love watching boxing and wrestling and other combat sports, but I don't really watch other sports, to be honest.
Everything is Sure. Finally, you know, let's just touch base real quick. You know, what can the fans expect to see when you and Grant get in the octagon on Saturday?
I think, you know, I'm gonna try to make it violent and dirty. You know, everyone always, you know, they always ask you in interviews, what how do you expect the fight to end? And every time I say that I'm gonna get a finish, I end up winning like a decision. So I'm just going to say that I'm going to win a decision, a dominant decision. Hopefully I get the finish, you know?
Well, no, I think you should go with you're going to win a boring decision. That way you'll have a very early knockout.
Spectacular. There you go. I'll take that too.
There you go. Jared, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address again. We're going to send you another care package from 8 Man Strong and some more socks from Odd Sock Official. Enjoy the week, and more importantly, enjoy yourself on Saturday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. That is The Flash, Jared Gordon, getting back in the octagon on Saturday. Let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, more MMA talk and some things I do need to express and get off my chest with you, Caleb. Not about you.
Yeah.
Just in general, some things that you know about and some you may not. So let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Benenot. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapsa. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Jim Palmer, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back hanging out here, minus Matt, so he will be fined.
Definitely.
And I will make sure that you implement that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can use your muscles to make sure that, you know, that he pays up and such. All right. So coming up momentarily, Thiago Silva, maybe we can get this out, or at least I can get this out real quick. So I ran across something on Facebook, and it has to do with memorabilia.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just waiting to see if, okay. That's even better. So I'm a closet Phillies fan. You know, I'm getting away from baseball. I'm getting away from being a fan. I'm getting away from all that crap. But I'm still kind of a Philly fan because of my dad's connection. And, you know, I've been involved with the Phillies, blah, 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 blah. So I sent an email requesting to get on the authentic Philly email list where someone inside the Philadelphia Phillies, and every team does this, every sport does this, they sell their memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured, well, maybe I'll run across something cool. Like, there's a guy, and I don't even remember his name. I think his first name's Nick. So he was at bat when he played for the Reds. I think this was last year. And Brenneman was making an apology for something that he said, and he eventually lost his job.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's making an apology while this Nick, whatever his last name, is batting, okay? And I know I'm going to butcher it. Sean does it perfectly, but he's like, you know, I want to apologize for the words. And there's a long drive to left field. So as he's doing it, this guy Nick is at bat. So I'm like, okay, if I can pick up something cool, you know, maybe, you know, a game-used jersey or something, you know, for Sean, you know, I would do that. So I showed you the list. And I knew that they did this with the baseballs, literally. And I've seen, you know, when I was at Rays games, you know, like a catcher catches the ball and then he rolls it to the right. Guy picks it up. He tags it.
Yep.
$50 for that ball.
Yeah.
If it's just a strike.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a foul ball, it could be 99, depending on who's batting, depending on who's pitching. They're making a killing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I see it from both sides. You know, they want to make money. Fans have something they can hold on to. But I just feel like when you saturate the market with stuff like that, it kind of loses its luster.
So we'll get back to that. I didn't realize I had a text from the station. So Thiago is on the phone.
Awesome.
As we're going to talk to him about his upcoming scrap down at Eagle Fighting Championship in about 3 weeks. We'll be down there. I'm looking forward to it. Thiago, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing fine. We're excited about the news, getting back in the cage for EFC. And first, let's start with, how did the relationship get started, you know, with Khabib and Eagle Fighting Championship?
Well, I know Khabib for a long time because we used to fight UFC together. We actually fought some events together back in UFC. But Gilbert Burns is actually who gave me the connection, you know, the opportunity to fight. And I haven't fought for 3 years. I had a lot of injuries, you know, last year. I had 4 broke hands in 1 year. But I'm very happy, you know, I'm back right now, healthy, and very excited for this fight.
Now, anybody who knows anything about MMA obviously knows your name and knows your opponent in Hector Lombard. You mentioned it. I was going to bring up, it's been 3 years. Hector Lombard is the first name you think of that you want to fight when you get back into the fight game?
For me, actually, I like the challenge, you know. Hector is a tough fighter, you know. He's a very good, very aggressive, you know. He pushed forward. And I took it as a challenge. I think I want to get back, and I want to get back fighting someone that really knows MMA, you know. And I think that's a good match.
What have you noticed, you know, over the 17-plus years that you've been in, you know, the sport of – the combat sport, you know, not just mixed martial arts. What have you noticed as the biggest change in those 17-plus years?
The biggest change, I think a lot of things changing. You know, today the fighters, they're more complete. They know everything. If you go back like 10, 15 years ago, there was a lot of good fighters, but not everyone knew everything. You know, good wrestling, good grappling, good striking. I think today the sport, it's like people are getting, is having access to everything together. You know, like for all the martial arts together. So I think they became more complete fighters. That's where I see the difference.
Interesting.
Tiago, you said you've taken 3 years off and you've been able to, you know, get healthy and rejuvenate yourself. How is this fight coming in now? How's this feeling? Does it feel like when you first started? Does it feel like just another fight? Like, what's your excitement level like coming up for the fight? You know, what's your process? Just kind of take me into your mental state, what you're thinking about.
No, for me, it's normal, you know. I'm happy that I'm back. That I'm back fighting. I'm excited because I want to step in the cage and have a good performance. But like not really, really excited, but just happy, you know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this now. Caleb plays in the NFL, so you know he's kind of new into the combat MMA sport. But Caleb was a soccer guy, and I know growing up you were a soccer guy. Do you still follow it? Do you still watch it? Do you still play it and enjoy it?
I don't really watch much TV. I don't have a time, man. Since my kid's born, you know, like it's really hard for me to have a free time in front of the TV. But I like soccer. I think soccer is fun. You know, it's part of the Brazilian culture. You know,
my favorite player of all time is actually Ronaldinho. So he's a fellow countryman of Thiago. So you should go look him up sometime and check out some of his highlights. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty incredible.
Ironically, Thiago, one of my favorite athletes is also a Brazilian, but not a soccer player. He's a basketball player, and Oscar Schmidt.
Oh, Oscar, he was great.
Most Americans have no idea the legend of Oscar Schmidt, and then I got to know him. His son went to school with my son in the Tampa Bay area, and what a good guy, and didn't realize the impact. He was like Michael Jordan in Brazil, Kim.
Wow.
What, Thiago, I know that we're still a couple weeks away, just about 3 weeks away. What can the fans expect, you know, to watch, you know, if they're not going to come down to Miami like we are? What can they expect when you and Hector Lombard get back in the cage?
Oh, they can't expect a war, you know. I'm very hungry for this fight. And everybody who knows me know how I fight. I push forward. I try to don't leave it to the judges to decide it. You know, I go after the knockout. And they can't expect a battle.
It will be a lot of fun. Before I let you go, let me ask you this. With the contract, with the relationship with Eagle Fighting Championship, is this a long-term thing? Are you trying to use this to obviously, you know, get back in it, move back up, or are you going to be around EFC for a while?
So far, I signed just one fight deal with them because I want to see how it goes, you know. But they're great. They're great to me, I'm sure, and If I want to keep going, they're going to give me more fights. That's not the problem, you know. So far, I've just signed a one fight deal.
I got you. Good stuff. I know you're going to enjoy the small, compact arena. It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure it's a lot of fun for you fighters as well. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as some cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on. And I'll see you in a couple weeks down there in Miami.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
Violent fight.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
And then, you know, add Hector Lombard into that.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Should be really, really cool. All right, so we'll get back to the baseball.
Okay.
We have a half an hour of just you and me chatting some sports.
My favorite.
And then the Bantamweight champ at the top of the hour. So let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament, Dub and Anat. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong. And staff some sweet, sweet studio you've put together here, though. I like it.
This
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Adrian Peterson from the Chicago Bears, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Friday, May 20th, Eagle FC returns with some of the biggest names in MMA. Heavyweights clash in the main event as Junior Dos Santos is back.
Oh, my goodness!
He'll take on hard-hitting Jorgen De Castro, plus Thiago Silva takes on Hector Lombard. Watch live and free. Sign up today at EagleFC.com. Eagle FC 47. The legend is back. Junior Dos Santos versus Jorgen De Castro. Friday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, give me more! I want more!
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Bobby Flay, and you're on Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
I forgot about Bobby Flay.
I was like, who don't you have on these promos?
I forgot about Bobby Flay.
It's crazy.
Got that at an MLB Celebrity All-Star Game.
Wow.
You know, and we really need to get on that, you know, whether it's Matt, whether it's you as the co-host now. You know, we need to upgrade. We need to not upgrade. We need some new, some fresh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I still, you know, have Cal Ripken when he was with the Orioles. You know, you know how long ago it was that he was with the Orioles. But I bet you they could sell his baseball. So back real quick. So the list is like the nameplates.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing the nameplates from the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from
the ones that are on the locker.
Yeah, on the lockers. You know, which to me always surprised me that players wouldn't take it themselves. You know, I know a lot of players do.
Yeah.
I remember back in 02 when the players were told you cannot take any part of your uniform that's owned by the Buccaneers. And I'm going to play stupid. I don't remember any names, anything. And people that said, yeah, try to get it back.
Yeah, come on. Kiss my ass.
Try. Unless you're that media guy and you could just, you said grass.
Grass.
It's okay. You know, that media guy that took Brady's jerseys.
Yeah. I mean, like, how do you look a player in his face after I just fought to play this game and, you know, win the Super Bowl, tell you, hey, you can't take your cleats, your jerseys, anything. We own that. You don't own anything. You didn't go out there and do any of this. Like, come on now. No.
What I would love this if some player, basically they should be from Chicago. So if there's a Chicago player in the NFL goes to the Super Bowl, he should think this out properly, like they do at Wrigley, and he should bring a backup jersey.
Yeah.
And then he takes the real one.
Two pairs of cleats.
And he puts the fake one like they do in Wrigley. Because, you know, that's supposedly what they do.
Oh, wow.
You know how they always throw those home run balls back?
Yeah.
No, they bring a batting practice ball. And then some of them. Okay. They keep the good one and then they throw the bad one back.
Okay.
This has always bothered me. little things really bother me. So whether it's Wrigley or now, you know, other, you know, home teams do it, they'll throw this home run ball back. It's like, I'm too good to keep your home run ball because you're the opponent, right? So what happens? Have you realized what happens? Think about what happens. Fan throws the ball back. An outfielder throws it in. The umpire then takes the ball, and what does he do? He flips it to the guy in the better seats.
Yeah.
So here you're in the crap seats in the outfield.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, you want to be, oh, no, that's not my favorite team. Yeah. And now some schmo that's sitting at the first base side in the $200 tickets now has the baseball.
Stupid.
I've never understood why they do that.
Yeah, oh, nah.
But definitely crazy, crazy stuff. All right, I think it was Saturday night where one of my new favorite people to watch, Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
The guy's a stud.
Super stud.
And I'm talking just about him, not necessarily his fight game, and we can talk about that as well. But, you know, just the things that he's done, the things that he said, the money that he, like, donated to Skid Row in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean told me the other day, he made a comment, I don't need money. I drive a 22-year-old car.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need it. I don't. And the next day after his fight, I saw on social media where he met with like a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah.
And they're at breakfast, shadow boxing and stuff. You don't see a lot of that.
You know, one thing I'm starting to appreciate the more I watch the fight game, there's guys who are, you know, they're great fighters, you know, UFC, boxing, whatever sport you want to talk about. And there's guys who are great entertainers. And Tyson Fury, for me, is a great entertainer at every level in his interviews. Him going there with no shirt on, him having a tie.
Singing after.
You pay to watch a pay-per-view fight with Tyson Fury, you're going to get a great boxing fight. You can get great interviews. He's going to let you into how he thinks. He oozes confidence. Like, I really, really enjoy watching him.
Sitting down in that king chair.
You know what I mean?
Like, then all they needed is the four, like from Rocky Balboa when they brought in Apollo.
Yeah.
Four people. I got to be politically correct because females could have done it too. You know, picked them up and then carried them chariot-wise, you know, to the cage.
No, it's awesome to watch. And like I said, like I really have an appreciation for, you know, those guys who can fight and fight well and entertain, go call their shots. Like I've gone back and watched his interviews. He sat down and he told Deontay Wilder, he said, I'm sitting in front of you right now and I know you can't beat me. And he was just so calm and just so honest. He was like, hey, like I thought you were like me. I thought we were the same. But you're not. Like, I'm better than you. Just like little stuff. And it's just like, it gets me going.
And it seemed genuine. You know, I've asked a couple of the fighters that I'm really close to that I can ask this question. They're still not going to answer it properly or correctly or honestly. I guess that's the way to say it. You know, when you go into a fight, when you go into a football game, you can't tell me that you, and I'm saying you general, I'm not saying this to you, think you're going to win every week.
Yeah.
Think you're going to win that fight, but you have to talk yourself into it to get out there. But Tyson Fury, and again, nobody has beat him, so why would he think any differently?
You know, like I said, I'm trying to get better like you to not, you know, be specific with names, you know, but it's the same thing in football. It's the same thing. Like, there's a guy who should not be named, offensive lineman, and a couple years ago, he talked about another defensive lineman that he says literally, because this guy had a great game, and we were just coming off the bus, we just played our game, and we saw such and such had a 5-sack game today. And he's like, I literally have nightmares about that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And now you got to, at some point,
The following year, he played this guy, and his nightmare came true. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like those kind of things, like self-talk, and that can be a good segue into Ben Simmons, about self-talk and just confidence and things like that. Like, it's really, really important in, you know, in anything you do, especially sports.
All right, let me get myself in trouble here since you brought up Ben Simmons. I'm not necessarily torn because mental health and mental health issues are severe.
Yes.
And they're real. And they need to be addressed properly. I kind of have a problem with he's having issues, and I'm saying that they're real.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's in any hurry to try to fix those problems when he's getting paid anyway?
I don't. And again, like I said, like I'm a little bit more torn than you because I do sympathize. But I do also understand that you chose this career path. No one is making you play basketball. You know what I mean? No one is making you go out there and you're getting paid handsomely for it. Everyone deals with stuff. You have to learn how to compartmentalize. You have to learn how to separate, and you have to learn how to, like, your team is depending on your team's kind. I had this argument with my friends the other day, and it's like, if I was his teammate, I'd be pissed. Like, we need you. we need you to at least try.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and to be so scared to fail that you won't even attempt to try, to me, that's disappointing. And so that's kind of where I get disappointed. And I'm like, kind of like, yeah, that's not okay, because now you're not even attempting to go out there and help. And it's like, you know, it's not cool to me.
Well, and again, if he wasn't getting paid, would he be more anxious to get out there and try? You know, more anxious to get out there and try to fight through it. And yeah, it's easy for me to say because I'm not in that situation. But we've all been in a situation like that.
Yeah, and to speak on that, Stephen A. Smith actually brought up a great point when I was, you know.
That means it's not true.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's a little out there. But like this one, he said it makes a lot of sense because, so he says when the NBA comes back to do the collective bargaining and they come after players and said they're going to make it more like the NFL to where you have to pay to play, that if you're just sitting out or missing games and resting, that you don't get paid because you didn't play that week, right? So they said when basketball comes and says, this is what we want to do now, since you have guys just taking rest days and, you know, Kyrie skipping 2 weeks because he has a family thing or whatever he said it is, or he needs time off, Ben Simmons, when they come with the rules, it's going to be called the Ben Simmons rule. And I think that's something they really got to think about because that's a thing in the NFL. Guys would do – I've done a lot of crazy things to make sure I'm able to play on Sunday because I know like I sure want the check and I want the player performance and all those things that come with it. And so it's like this thing is bigger than just him at this moment, like what it's getting to.
You know, and that's the one drawback from guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember there's a guy lives here locally. Everybody knows who he is, and it's not his fault, but he got signed to a stupid contract, mm-hmm, I think by the Miami Heat. And now the mansion that he owns, you know, and it is what it is. But, yeah, you got to at least try to fight through it. And yeah, and whether it's by going out and getting help or forcing yourself to get on the court or whatever those issues are. You know, yeah, I don't know what his issues are. But if it's about being concerned to fail, I mean, we're all going to fail.
100%.
Michael Jordan failed. What's yeah that famous line that he says?
Yeah. And, you know, that's what, you know, you talk about the great players. You know, LeBron had his historic – and again, like LeBron is really polarizing. People have certain – I used to feel a way about him. I've changed my opinions now. But he had
for better or worse?
For better.
Okay.
For better now. For better. But
I've gone for worse.
For worse? Oh, wow.
I used to – whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah. But he had his epic fail in 2011, and people were killing him. And he went up there and said, well, I live a better life than you, so you can take your – you know, and it was kind of just real like standoffish, and I didn't like it.
Right.
And to see him bounce back from that and become, you know, win championships and kind of become the man that he is, like it's a career defining moment for him. And I hope it turns into a positive thing, because otherwise it's going to be one of those stories, like the biggest busts and, you know,
so history. Let me take what you said. So I'm curious about your opinion on, and two, I'll say both of them, then you can respond to them both. One, Kyrie and what he did in Boston.
Yeah.
And I have my opinion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how come Durant isn't getting just destroyed like LeBron would be getting destroyed? If LeBron's team got swept,
mm-hmm,
you don't think that we'd be hearing, it's LeBron, it's LeBron, it's LeBron. I don't think Durant's getting the criticism if it was LeBron.
Okay. Okay, so on Kyrie. And when
that was an awful serious look you just gave me.
On Kyrie and Boston first. Loved it.
I did too.
Loved every second of it. I think I love the fans. They make for exciting games. They make for exciting sports. You know, they help us out, and it's a great part of the game. You cannot, because at the end of the day, we're all men. We're all people. Say that. Right. Can't be politically correct. Right. We're all people, human beings. And
well, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, so you can't feel like because I paid money to come watch a sporting event, I can say whatever I want to whoever I want. It doesn't work that way. I'm a like that
guy. Ask Mike Tyson.
Exactly like Mike Tyson. You can't say what you want to who you want and expect not to get it back. So you right want to go call him names and he gives it back to you. Don't look surprised. Don't right say, oh my God, my children's here. You're just yelling the profanities from me with your kids sitting right next to you.
Exactly.
So I'm all for it. I love it. I don't think he should have been fined. I know they have to for the optics. I understand that. I think they should find a way to get, like Dana White does, give him a little something on the side. So he's like, yeah, it's okay, Kyrie. But as far as Kevin Durant goes, two reasons why I think he's not getting the same level of criticism LeBron would get. One, because Kevin has never been considered the one between the one and three greatest players of all time. I think the higher up you get, because he has been getting criticized, not to the level of LeBron. Right.
But hasn't he been considered top 10?
Top 10, top 15, 15, okay. You know, like he's in that range, yes. But right. So like he, but he doesn't, he's not considered on the, they're not debating him and Michael Jordan for the greatest of all time.
Sure.
You know, I would say him, Michael, and Kobe, but you know, that's for another discussion for another day. So I think that's one reason. And the second reason is I think since he got to the Nets, he's the only person that's been consistent and that has worked and has been all in on that team for the last, whatever, 2-3 years they've been together. Kyrie has missed 70-something games in two seasons. James Harden quit on him. Steve Nash, it's his first year as a coach. Like, there's so much turmoil going on that team, and the one constant has been Kevin Durant. You know, like, he struggled this past year in the playoffs, up until the last game, but the year before when they played the Bucks, who were the champions, he had them up. He was playing amazing, if not for a toe on the line of three-pointer, we're having a different conversation. Sure. Maybe they go to the conference finals or the championship game. And so for me, I think that's why he's not getting destroyed as much, is because of all of those variables that happen. Like, a lot of people don't kill LeBron for his losses to the Warriors, because like, nobody was beating that team. So it's kind of like they don't really demolish him too much for it. But I think those are the two reasons why, you know, it's not been as bad.
And I wonder if it would even be to the next level, because if Green doesn't get thrown out of the game and they win that championship as well, then that's not a championship for LeBron. So who knows?
Yeah. And again, that's but people are still going to say it's a 73-win team. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, LeBron gets a lot of criticism. You know, he gets a lot of criticism. But again, deservedly so, he gets a lot of credit when the teams do well.
And I'm so surprised that anybody would think that Harden would quit on a team.
Yeah, you know, like,
has he ever done that before?
I think it's the third time. It's a little pattern of his now.
It definitely is. All right, let's go hit a quick break. We'll be back to close out hour number one. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant. If I go out,
I can dream. Will you let me show you what I can have me? This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Texas Crazy Horse Heath Herring, and you're on Knockout Radio with Randy Harris and Benjamin Glossop.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Chuck Knoll, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, what a great liner. Chuck Knoll, former Pittsburgh Steeler head coach. So a nice little segue to the final segment of hour number one. NFL draft kicks off tomorrow. Let's start with, go back to your draft year.
Yeah.
What was that like? You know, what was the evening like? Did you expect? What did you expect?
Man, that is one of the whole draft process is one of the most stressful, uncertain, excruciating. And I don't care whether you think you're going to go first round or you're like, I'm probably going to get undrafted. It's a stressful process from the training. And like, you'll never train like that for anything ever again in your life. It's constant 24/7. 2 to 3 a day workouts and, you know, regimens and eating all the perfect and drinking only water to the combine. It's a long, grueling week. And then your pro day is exhausting and the visits. And then you get to draft day. And for me, when I got my draft grade, that draft grade was anywhere between the end of the first round to the end of the second round. Right. So day one, day two at the latest.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was my draft grade. And so yeah, I came out early, you know. So I got my draft grade, you know, like everybody was like, yeah, like probably second round. If you stay another year, guaranteed first round. I'm like, I'm going to take my chances. You know, I'm like, yeah, I looked at the landscape. I felt like I had a good chance. I came out, ESPN was, they weren't with me the first day because I was kind of like an outside chance. But the second day, ESPN was with me. They had the cameras. I was with my family. We had rented out this a private room at the steakhouse, and everybody was there. We're watching the draft, and the second round goes by. And it's going by, and the third round's going by, and I'm calling my agent, like, what's going on? And you're getting calls from teams, and they'll call you, and every time you get called, it's like, oh, my God, like, this is the one. And they're like, hey, man, you know, if you're there in the fourth, we're going to come get you, you know, like that kind of thing. I'm like, get off my phone. Don't call me with this. And so, like, for me, like, second day, I was really, really disappointed because I ended up not going, and I was pissed. I was frustrated. You know, my boy Kenny, he texted me after I got drafted, and he was like, he wanted to call me, but he, when they were panning through the best available guys left, he said he saw my face on TV. I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't call Caleb. Caleb right now. So I was pissed. You know, I went in day three. I went in the fifth round. But when I got that call, it was like the biggest relief. Like I stopped being mad. I stopped, you know, thinking about stuff like that. It was just like a relief. I cried like a baby. It was like the biggest weight off your shoulders, you know, because somebody picked you and somebody wants you to be there. And it doesn't matter if you go in the first round or seventh round, when you get your name called, it's just such a like, just like, oh my God, like somebody picked me, you know, out of all the guys they could have took, they took me. And so it was exciting for me. And it was like, again, it's stressful, but like when you get your name called, it's the most beautiful thing. And when you don't, it's, you know, it's not, the world's not over. You know, you still get a chance to come in. And so, like, it's stressful, but it's a great time for these guys and their families.
How many calls did you get saying, you know, hey, if you're there, we're taken? And then
like probably like five or six, really? To the point where I had to give my phone to my agent. Because I'm like, I don't want to. If it's not the real deal, I don't want to keep going. Because, like, if you see, you look, every time I look at my phone, everybody's like, oh, my, right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, on the edge of their seat trying to, you know, see what's going on. And so, like, you know, it's a crazy, crazy time, but like, it's a blessing to have your family there and like the support that you get, you know, like my mentor, Orny, he went and bought a hat, four hats, four or five hats for me and my family members,
right,
for every football team. And he was like, whichever one picture, we're going to be ready. You know what I mean? And so like, just like little things like that.
So
like
were you ready?
Yeah, I was ready.
No, meaning was one a Bucks hat?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Yeah, so
okay.
He literally went all 32 teams, went and bought four hats.
Of just four teams?
No, all the teams.
Oh.
He bought four hats. So for me, oh, my okay. mom, my brother,
I
my
got
sister,
you. I got you. Okay.
Of us,
okay.
All 32 teams. Okay. He went and bought all of them all and of them. Brought them in these big boxes. Like, okay. Whichever one happens, you're going to be ready.
I thought you were saying four hats. So like, you know, Washington and Seattle. And,
no.
And how did he get lucky enough to pick those four?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of laugh about it now. I'm sure it still, you know, hurts, you know, if you think about it. But I'm going to pull it up anyway because I'm curious. So what was the thinking when one of those teams, and you don't have to say what team, but one of those teams said, if you're there, we're taking you. And then they came up and you're there and they went another direction.
Man, I was pissed. Like, I mean, and it's one of those things. And like, so a little kind of like the dickhead in me, I guess I could say. I have a list of all the guys that went before me. And as of like last year, there might be five of us left. All the ones who were in the first round and like two other ones. But all the guys, like they were drafting guys in the third round to this team, second round to this team. Those guys are out of the league. Their careers didn't.
So you do keep track of that.
Keep track of it. For sure. Because you watch football and it's like, you know, you don't want to ever be a hater, but you watch and you see how guys play and you're like, I know he's not better than me. You know, every athlete, you know the guys who are like, dude, that dude's good. Like, right. I know I'm like, but that dude is like the man. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
So when you see certain things, you see certain guys go and you're just like, I know he's not a better player than me. And then to kind of see it play out that way and see, you know, you don't want to wish anybody's career short, but you're like, hey, team, you could have had me and you didn't. So like all those little things like that. But it's a fun time, man. It's exciting.
Well, you can also think of it this way. If you would have gone to any of the other teams, you wouldn't be co-hosting this radio show.
Exactly.
You might be co-hosting a radio show, but it wouldn't be this one. Maybe not. We don't know. What do you know about the draft? Who is somebody, you know, that everybody should be looking out for? And I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to Tampa Stadium tomorrow because I think they're expected to pick at like 11:45 at night.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'll be asleep.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been as close on college football this past year, excuse me, as in the as in the past, but I know the Thibodeau guy from Oregon is really good. There's a stud linebacker from Alabama that everybody loves.
That's a shock.
Yeah, exactly. Alabama has good players. You know, they got the left tackle from Bama as well that everybody loves. And I'm really intrigued to see the guy from Michigan, you know. Like
Hutchinson?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. You know, like there's been a lot of, you know, talk about like he's really, really developed now, but it's a ceiling really high and, you know, things like that. I try not to nitpick too much with this stuff because I want, you know, guys to, I don't want to get in. I know how it feels.
Sure.
You know, so I try not to get in too much into it. But again, like I said, I'm excited to see, like, I'm going to see the quarterbacks, you know, kind of how, I'm more excited to see what directions teams go in than the actual guys that they're taking. You know, that's kind of where my excitement goes, and to see, okay, who's going to take a quarterback, who's going to trade down, who's going to, you know, that kind of thing. That's what excites me about that.
I found it interesting when I did pay attention to it. They were talking about Hutchinson and the Georgia D lineman, who I guess has leapfrogged over him.
Yeah,
you know, Hutchinson was projected one, now he's projected two. And when they were arguing about it, I don't remember who was on which side or whatever, the one guy saying the Georgia guy played in Georgia. They had a entirely stacked team.
Yeah.
So where Hutchinson was on the field, we'll say 90% of the time, the Georgia guy's on the field 42% of the time.
Yeah.
So of course he's not going to match sacks and plays, and because he doesn't have to be on the field as much. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that people don't. I didn't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at stats, you don't think, well, he plays at Alabama or he plays at Georgia, he's not going to be on the field all the time.
In the NFL, you're not going to be on the field all the time. Like, that's kind of, you rotate. Guys rotate a lot to keep them fresh. That's one of the things that offensive linemen hate about D-linemen. We like to go fast. It's because, like, I'm tired. You know, now you come up, they've got four new guys in here. You know, they're fresh. But what I love about the kid from Georgia, I think for me, like, somebody, he's 6'8", 308, 70 pounds or whatever he is. He's a big dude. And I was kind of worried about his lateral movement and his bend. And I watch him do the short shuttle and the three cone drill, and this dude can bend, he can run. Like, it's really impressive to be that big and move that well. But a lot of stuff goes into it. You got to look at the competition that he was playing against. He's playing against Alabama's offensive line and LSU's. And
twice.
You know what I'm saying? Twice. Yeah. And those kind of guys. And in Michigan, the Big Ten doesn't stack up the same way, you know, that especially when it comes to, well, historically, the offensive lineman has been good in the Big Ten. Over the last few years, not so much. So you got to check out all those things, and, you know, and when you're making those choices.
I know this sounds kind of silly, but do you think a player that could go 1, 2, or 3, we'll say 1, 2, or 3, mm-hmm. is like, well, 2 is the – I don't know who 2 is, but we're going to say 2 is the New York Jets.
Yeah.
1 is Jacksonville. No.
Yeah.
I don't mind going 2. I think to be the number one pick in the draft, I don't think any player would care. I'd even go to Jacksonville to be number one. But I wouldn't want to go to Jacksonville number 2 if, give me an up and coming good team, whatever, is 3.
Yeah, I think guys need to start making those decisions more. There's not been a time, hear me out, where somebody was getting drafted somewhere and they said, "Yeah, I'm not going there." That it didn't work out. Eli Manning, "I'm not going there." Philip Rivers didn't win a championship. Eli won 2. John Elway. If you pick me, I'm not gonna play baseball. So, like, I think guys, because, like, these teams, and we're getting into the era, shout out to the NBA guys for kind of starting this trend, but we're getting into the era now where players are taking control of their careers and not letting teams dictate. Guys are demanding trades. Again, like, some of it is goofy. Some people need to, you know, understand their role. But I think guys should be like, yeah, like, everybody you've drafted the last 10 years hasn't had a great, has been terrible.
Right.
Like, it's the organization's a mess. You know, I don't want to be here. So I think guys should stand up and be like, hey, listen, like, if you pick me, I'm not going
to
sign.
I've responded to a question on Facebook, the worst draft pick in NFL history. And I continue to say it's Bo Jackson. Now, people are like, Bo Jackson, come on.
No. That one to me.
Well, Bo Jackson was the worst draft pick in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, okay.
Because he was the number one pick of the Tampa Bay Bucs, and he said, don't pick me. I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Because of some things that happened and cost him, you know, the senior year of baseball and blah, 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 blah. He said, I'm not coming. And so then he went to baseball.
Yeah.
And then when time and however that whole played out, then he went to the NFL.
Yeah.
So anybody, in my opinion, was a better draft pick than Bo Jackson. Because Bo didn't play.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather somebody come and not succeed mm-hmm. than somebody who didn't even come at all, right? So to me, Bo Jackson is the worst draft pick in the history of the NFL. Right.
I thought you were going to say the guy from the Raiders, Jamarcus Russell.
No, because at least he went out and played.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he wasn't very good, but Bo said, don't draft me. And the Bucks played their hand and said, no, we are drafting you, and you are going to come and play.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
You see, I have a different take. I know we don't have much time, but I have a different take on bust than people do. If you go out there and you work your tail off and you're not as good as people thought you were going to be, whatever that means, but you know you went out there and put that time in, you worked, and hey, everybody's not going to be a superstar. That's okay. I'm not going to consider you a bust.
I hate the word anyway.
Yeah. The ones that upset me is when stories come out where it's like, you didn't watch film, you didn't work out, you didn't train, you're a 300-pound quarterback, or you're this.
You didn't even try.
You know, you didn't even try. Yeah. Then I'm just like, well, hey, of course you didn't succeed.
Who was it, the Buffalo quarterback who didn't read any of the playbook, and then when he got thrown in the game, he had no clue what to do?
He hadn't even
opened the book up.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
He knew nothing. He was like a deer in headlights, and it was not pretty. But
yeah,
I love how fans or media, oh, it's a bust. Bust in the NFL?
Come on.
He got to the NFL. You know, yeah, you're right. He may not be Aaron Donald.
But, yeah, not a lot of people are.
Right. So. Yeah, I only know of none that are like him. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we return, we're going to head back out to Las Vegas, not once but twice. Juliana Pena, your bantamweight champ, and also coach on The Ultimate Fighter, Ben Rothwell, as he gets ready to hook him up at bare knuckle and gift him Gabe Green when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.